Many workplaces in the United States offer their employees some type of a wellness program to encourage better health. But at what point do they go too far? Connecticut Public Radio's Nicole Leonard looks at why workers at Yale University are fighting against their wellness program.
Lisa Quessel started getting emails and notices about her employer's new wellness program, which is marketed as voluntary. She was getting an offer to participate because she's a part-time service assistant at Yale University and a member of the Local 34 Unite Here Workers Union. But as she started reading through the terms and conditions with her husband, Quessel realized two things. Her private health information would be shared to an extent with her employer and other companies involved in the program, and if she didn't participate, $25 a week would come out of her paycheck, which can add up to $1,300 a year.
I said, this is really, really bad, and it's really wrong, and it's against my rights as a human being. And no one needs to know my personal health information other than me and my doctor.
Quessel is now a lead plaintiff in a class action lawsuit filed against Yale that says the university's wellness program violates federal health privacy and discrimination laws. Attorneys say this issue is likely happening in other parts of the country too. The popularity of workplace wellness programs has grown into an $8 billion industry, even when there's a lack of studies that prove these programs lead to better health outcomes and cost savings. Now, under federal law, wellness programs need to be voluntary, but Jason Schwartz, who is a unionized locksmith at Yale, feels that his employer's program is anything but that.
For them to let you know in the flyers and the mailers that you're going to be docked, you're going to be, you know, we're going to take the money out of your paycheck, it just completely rubbed me the wrong way.
Yale officials say the university doesn't comment on pending litigation, but there are details about its wellness program on its website. Union workers who participate will need to complete a series of preventative health services, like physical exams, blood tests, and cancer screenings. The tests vary by age group. The program collects insurance data to share with a third-party company that makes sure employees are complying. The data is also shared with a health and disease management organization called TrestleTree. Employees may be required to work with a TrestleTree coach if they have poor test results or chronic diseases. And Schwartz doesn't see that as voluntary.
Now you've got another person telling you what you need to do to get healthy. And you know what? That's fine. I don't begrudge the university for wanting a program like this. I don't disagree with the fact that people should take an interest in their own health. But the bottom line is, it's very invasive to have someone else other than you and your doctor involved in whatever medical problem you're experiencing. It's traumatic enough, right?
Workplace wellness programs all look different. Some may offer incentives like discounts on insurance premiums, small prizes, and other rewards. A 2018 Kaiser Family Foundation survey found that 57% of wellness programs included these types of incentives. The National Society for Human Resource Management also calls incentives an effective tool to change unhealthy behaviors and increase participation, but it doesn't mention levying fees or penalties on people who don't want to participate. Dara Smith is a senior attorney in the Yale lawsuit for the AARP Foundation.
Our argument is that if you are fined for not participating, that's not voluntary. You have a right to keep that information to yourself.
And although wellness programs are widely implemented, there isn't a lot of data that proves these programs save employers or workers in healthcare costs or that they lead to better long-term health outcomes. Dr. Zuri Song of Harvard Medical School recently published his findings in a large-scale clinical trial on wellness programs.
We have learned that health behaviors can respond to a wellness program. But the lack of significant differences in terms of clinical measures of health or healthcare spending might temper expectations among employers of programs like this to generate large financial returns on investment in the short run.
Song says that doesn't mean wellness programs can't be effective or make a difference in health outcomes, just that there isn't enough evidence right now to support those theories.
When we think about what is the ideal workplace wellness program to design, we do not yet have a specific prototype of a workplace wellness program that has been consistently shown to deliver returns in a wide array of workplaces. So that is still an open question, and that includes whether or not a wellness program ought to have only upside incentives or both upside and downside incentives.
Meanwhile, Dara Smith at AARP says the outcome of the class action lawsuit against Yale could help other employees and employers in wellness program disputes.
It can be a complicated and confusing area of law. We're really trying to pave the way to show that these programs are illegal and provide a roadmap for how to prove that.
Plaintiff attorneys say they now wait to see how Yale will respond to the suit in court. Nicole Leonard, Connecticut Public Radio.